for those who have been here through the summer, we've been going through the book of Ephesians. And we today, through the summer, we're going to continue through the book of Ephesians. But today we're on chapter 3, and we're going to go through the first few verses there in chapter 3. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this movie. Has anybody ever seen this movie? Emperor's New Groove? Yeah, yeah. Okay, now, for those of that, this guy on the left, your left, that's the emperor. He doesn't like to be interrupted. He's got this groove. But you know, the reality is I would assume every one of us here today has some kind of groove. You have maybe your morning groove. Does anybody got a morning groove? Things you do, you just, this routine, you know, you just like to do, you know, and or maybe maybe you have a work, at work you have a certain routine or groove you get into, or maybe an evening, who has an evening groove where you just like this flow, you got this certain things, routines you like to do, but is it enjoyable when your groove gets interrupted? How many has ever had their groove interrupted? What they've done, yeah. You know, and there's all kinds of things that can interrupt our groove, but sometimes, you know, the reality is that sometimes it's God who interrupts our groove. You know, he comes in and he does it for a purpose. I don't know if, how many ever heard of C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia. He said this about our interrupts. He says, the great thing, if one can, is to stop regarding all the unpleasant things as interruptions of one's own or real life. The truth is, of course, that what one calls the interruptions are precisely one's real life, the life God is sending one day by day. And so it's one of those things, in other words, saying that we need to watch and think that everything that's interrupting us is messing up with our life and messing our life up, where sometimes God wants to give us life through those interruptions and bring ones. There's a Henry Nouwen, who is a professor, a Christian author. He says, a few years ago, I met an old professor at the University of Notre Dame. Looking back on his long life of teaching, he said with a funny wrinkle in his eyes, I have always been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I slowly discovered that my interruptions were my work. And so there's something about listening to what God's doing. I know I was taking my dad around to some of the banks the other day and to do a address change since he's moved. And one of the banks we went into, we went in, all we want to do is an address change. So that means you get on the computer, you go, and we're done. So my plan was, we're going to do this, we're going to hit these three banks, we're going to be back with him and all this stuff. So we sat in there, and 20 minutes later, they finally got the address changed. So this person had decided they want to tell us all about their life, about their kids, their sports activities, their friends, everything. So I'm listening, but at the same time, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit saying, Lord, why is this person telling us this? Lord, what do you want to say? So I was trying to discern, do you want us to pray for her about something? I never felt that. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes, you know, people just need somebody to listen to. You know, sometimes we might feel like, okay, any moment I'm going to pounce on them, you know, and pray for them. You know, that's the door, you know, I get in there. You know, and it doesn't mean those things don't happen. You know, it's listening to the Holy Spirit. But sometimes some of the most powerful things we can do is just listen. And I thought, I was listening, I said, why? Why is she telling? I mean, she's telling us all kinds of stuff about her life and everything. I think, why, God? Why is she doing this? And I finally felt like the Lord said, she just needs to know somebody's out there cares. You know, she's a single mom. She's got two kids and stuff. It just cares. And so in that, and listening to that, is what is God doing in the midst of that? In Ephesians 3, the first verse, it says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. You know, the Apostle Paul, if you know about his life was interrupted. You know, and the reality is, when you think, well, you know, it's good. Paul was doing really good. I mean, compared to today, he would be successful if you looked at his life today. I mean, he was on his upswing, being a leader in the nation. You know, he was doing really, really well. He was successful, even giving papers to do international business. You know, go over there. Yeah, go arrest the Christians there and go do that. I mean, he was doing well, and then God interrupted his life because God loved him enough to interrupt his life. If God interrupts your life, it's because he loves us. I know I look back at my life and I thank God for the interruptions he's done in my life, because I would have destroyed my life. Yeah, in the world's eyes, it would look like I was succeeding. But honestly, I was destroying my life by succeeding according to world standards and not succeeding according to God's standards. And so I thank God for the many times he said no, or something happened in my life that at the moment, it's not fun, those interruptions, but he did it and he changed my life. And the thing is when God interrupts you, when God brings those things to our life, we will not have regrets if we listen and pay attention to them. So Apostle Paul, God interrupting, God brought him to that salvation, to know him. Jesus met him on a road for in his success, in Paul's mind of success. Jesus met him, interrupted his life, gave him a whole new assignment, gave him a whole new life, changed his life. But you know, it wasn't just for Paul. It's because if God interrupts us, it's not just for us, it's for those around us too. It's usually because he's got other people he wants us to touch and us to help know his love and help to know him. And so that happened. And Paul goes on to say here, he says in 1 John 3:16, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So Paul said here, he says, I'm a prisoner for Christ for the sake of you Gentiles. So, you know, the thing I thought is, who are we a prisoner for? Who do we love enough to allow and say, I'm a prisoner for Christ for my wife Lois? I'm a prisoner for Christ for somebody I work with. I'm a prisoner for Christ for a friend. Who would we allow ourselves to be, in a sense, inconvenienced for that we love them enough? That we love somebody enough that we allow that inconvenience to come to our life? And I just felt we should stop here and just pray. And hopefully you have somebody in your life that you would be able to say this, that I have become a prisoner for Christ for the sake of my wife and children, for the sake of my friend or a neighbor or a relative or somebody. Hopefully you have that. If not, we're going to pray. But I'm going to ask you just to take a moment and pray for that person or persons, a couple of them, that you felt that. If you don't have somebody, we're just going to believe for God to show you somebody, to bring somebody to you. Because I believe every Christian should have somebody that they're willing to do this for. Because this is what Jesus did, and we are being transformed to be like him, to seek those that are lost. So, Father, we just welcome that. We just thank you, Lord. Just take a moment and just pray for those ones that God's already put in your heart. It goes on here in Ephesians, says, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. This is again Apostle Paul talking. This is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. You know, there's been lots of inventions over the last couple hundred years. I mean, the acceleration. I mean, just in communication alone, what's happened. I mean, and it's not stopping. You know, in transportation, just over the last, since this little bit of time. And now it's just amazing what's happening. So there's lots of inventions. But the reality is all these inventions, all these things that happened, all the stuff was still here. Nothing new, in a sense, has been created. There's no new elements or something that all of a sudden somebody went poof. They were here. It's just nobody knew how to do it. Nobody had the equipment. Nobody had that. And that's sort of what happened in God. It wasn't that God didn't have a love and wanted to see mankind saved. It just wasn't the time. And the Bible says that this mystery, this revelation, this in sense invention that God wanted to reveal was this. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs. In other words, those who were not Jewish, from a Jewish background, are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise of Christ. So in other words, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him can have this. Whoever wants to believe in him can be an heir, can be a son or daughter in Christ. So this is that mystery. This is what happened. It's not necessarily that something new, it's just that something more was revealed. We get a deeper understanding of the heart of God. We get a greater understanding that God's heart always was to bring salvation. He's always to have a relationship with mankind. He's always wanted to have that intimacy. But he said, but now, here it is. It's not just for the Jewish people. This is for all mankind, that all of you can come and have that deep, deep relationship. The thing that happens here is that Paul said, he goes, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. You know, there's a grace that God gives us for salvation. It's a grace of knowing him, grace of salvation, that we come to know him. But there's also a grace that he gives us for life. And the thing is what is the grace? The word grace here actually means this. It says that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, lovingness. It says goodwill, loving, favor. What is God's grace on your life? You know, there's we can live life and come to a point where I'm not gonna live any grace anymore. No, I'm just gonna stay alive until I die and go to heaven. And so what we do is we shortchange the grace of God, because there is a grace of God for our whole life. In other words, there's a calling, there's a purpose, there's a destiny, there's a place he has for us for our whole life. But in that grace that we have, it doesn't mean there aren't struggles, there aren't things to go through, but some of this should be evident. Some of this, the fact that there should be joy, there should be a pleasure. How many ever seen the movie Chariots of Fire? You ever seen the movie Chariots? Do you remember what Eric Little said? He says, when I run, I feel his pleasure. And so there's a sense of, are we doing things, whatever we do, whatever job, it could be in our marriage, could be parenting, could be at our job, could be at school, whatever, do we feel his pleasure? I encourage you, if you don't, it's there for us. It's not something that's only there for a few. That God has that desire for us, that he has this grace, as he had Apostle Paul begin to describe this grace. He says this, Paul says, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. So there is a grace for every one of us that God, in other words, that calling, but in that calling, there's a grace, there's a strength, there's a blessing, there's a favor. And you know, in the midst of that, yes, God works his character in us. You know, part of our purpose here is not just to do stuff, it's to be transformed into his image. You know, it's not just, God could have created a bunch of robots to do that. It's to do stuff. But he wanted to have us being transformed. And you know, and that transformation is not, again, just to make robots. In other words, that transformation is that we are stepping more into being his sons or daughters. That's really what the transformation is to have that. We talked about that mystery. Every time we step into that mystery, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that he is going to take us from glory to glory. And in that glory, we're being transformed. Every time we step into that greater mystery of understanding, it brings glory to God. Because he is revealed to us. And the next verse here, it says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So, you know, what would it be like if I had this invention that I created, and I knew this invention would help all of mankind have a better life, but I never told anybody. And that's really what Apostle Paul is saying. Apostle Paul is saying, or the Holy Spirit was saying through the Apostle Paul, he says, here's this great mystery. But you know who's going to share this mystery? The church. How many of here are part of the church? Not a part of this church, part of the church. You know, the church. You know, that's one thing as Christians, we have to be very careful. We don't get narrow-minded to think I'm a part of a church, because we're always a part of the church. I'm a part of the church over in Iraq. I'm a part of the church in Africa and South America. We're part of the church all over. We're always part of that. So it's not my our brothers and sisters all over Marion, Ohio. We are worshiping together. It's not that we are against or struggling. We are worshiping together and working together for his purpose and kingdom. So Paul says that that's how this mystery is going to be known. It's through us. You know, our vision statement here is bringing revival to our region, Ohio, by each one demonstrating the realness of God. So there's a sense of each one of us has that place of demonstrating. And like I shared earlier, that could be just from listening to somebody. It could be from praying for somebody and seeing somebody healed. It could be sharing a word of knowledge. It could be all kinds of ways, but it's just allowing that compassion. And the purpose of this, again, it says on in Ephesians 3:12, it says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Could we have the musicians come back up? You know, the one thing I think in this verse, that one of the last things to share here, is that most of us understand freedom. Most of us understand the fact of being free. Yeah, I'm free. I know God. But it's another thing is that can you approach God with confidence? I can approach him with freedom. Yeah, I'm forgiven of my sins. Yeah, I know he loves me, but can I approach him with confidence? The confidence part is, do you really believe God's for you? You know, it's one thing I know, yeah, he took care of my sins. He did all that stuff, but confidence means I'm coming in there that I'm coming in with my main cheerleader, my main coach, the one who's for me more than anybody else on the face of the earth. And that's what Paul said. That's the mystery. Have we entered into that mystery? Have we understood that mystery of understanding that deeper revelation that I can come to him with confidence, not in fear and trembling, even though, yes, he's God, and we never lose that. You know, it's like going to my dad when I was younger. You know, yeah, he's dad, but he loves me, and I know his goal is to protect me and bless me and for me. That's the way our Father is, that we can come to him. And maybe you didn't have that growing up. Maybe you didn't have that, but you can have it with God, that you can have that confidence, that you can go to him in that freedom, but you can go to him even with your failures, even when you messed up, even when you don't understand. You can go to him with confidence. Say, God, I really blew it. I know you love me. I know you're for me. I know you're going to help me get through this, and you're going to help restore, and you're going to help me give me understanding. I'm struggling maybe in knowing what to do or how to understand them. Maybe my kids aren't doing what they're supposed to. Maybe my marriage isn't working. Maybe my job is a frustration, or my life is messed up, or whatever. I can come to you with confidence. Say, God, you're going to help me. You're going to help me. You know, there's a promise that says, knock and the door will be open. Seek and you will find. It's in Matthew. Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given. We can come to confidence, say, God, I need this. And maybe right then you'll get an understanding. But the thing is he will answer that prayer. Some way he will give you that understanding if we allow ourselves to allow him to show us those mysteries and walk with that. So if we go ahead and stand, last verse there, Paul says, is do not be discouraged. You know, there's a lot of things that we can be discouraged in life. A lot of things we can get our eyes on, but the Holy Spirit, as we sung earlier, when we focus on Jesus, focus on him, it's not that we ignore the things of the world. God sent Jesus to save the world, not to ignore it. And that's the same thing with us, but we can still walk in that with confidence. So there's a commissioning I would just ask us today to just take afresh. And I'm going to read a question to you, and however you answer, it's up to you. But the answer would be, I am. You know, and this is between you and God. I'm just repeating this, and you're answering to him, not to me. So first question is, are you willing to be interrupted by God? If you are, say, I am. Are you willing to find God's grace and live it on your life? Are you willing to do that? And last one is, are you willing to allow the mysteries of God be seen and heard through your life? If you're willing, say, I am. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask our personal ministry team if they would come up. And these ones, again, will be up here. Maybe you never made a personal commitment to Christ, as we heard Steve share. Maybe you've been asked many times, and, you know, today's a great day. Anytime's a great time. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So if you never made that commitment, these ones can pray with you about that, or pray with you about whatever you like. But let's go out, and let's let the world see the mystery of Christ through our lives. So Ryan's going to lead us in a team in a worship song and prayer. And then I'm going to ask, when we get done, when Ryan gets done prayer, don't rush off real quick, but find somebody and just talk to them a little bit about their lives. God bless you.